The second line of the song, I believe, was the one that said, "You are the God who you say you are." And that ties right into today. We're on our 16th Sunday of an attribute, a characteristic of God, a perfection, a quality of God. And today it's the truthfulness of God. The Lord is true. He is the God who he says he is. Thank you, Deb, for the song. Thank you, Joyce and Diana, for playing. Thank you, Trinity, for playing. Trinity has been a piano student of Diana Lemire for 8 years now. And I can vouch for you because I hear it at home. It takes a lot of practice to get to that point. We also appreciate Joyce and Diana, who do a lot of practicing to play for us. You know, the ladies come up each Sunday and make it look automatic and easy, but it's not. It takes ministry effort on their part, and we appreciate it. We appreciate Trinity's effort, too. And Deb, thanks again for that song. He is the God who he says he is. I'd like you to join me in Isaiah 65. In terms of chapters, it's the second longest book in the Bible. You'll find Psalms in the middle of your Bible. Go a little bit farther back, and you'll find Isaiah after the Psalms. Isaiah chapter 65. As we heard in our call to worship from Job this morning at the beginning, the Almighty is a God who reveals himself in his creation and in the scriptures and in Christ. And in the book of Job, who is a teacher like him? He is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." The Lord is a true teacher, and his word is true. And we have the Spirit of truth within us to help us understand his truth. The truthfulness of the Lord is true. First of all, the sovereign God, God the Father. Numbers 23 says, "God is not human that he should lie. He is not a man that he should speak and then not act or follow through." How many times in my life have I said I'm going to do something and then I don't follow through? God is not a man that he should speak and then not act. He always fulfills what he says. He is truth. Does the Lord promise and not fulfill? Never. Every promise in the book, Paul writes in Corinthians, is yes and yes and amen, so be it. Everything God says, he does. The Lord is true. In 1 Samuel 15, we read, "The God of Israel does not lie." By the way, that's why in 2016, 8.5 million people live in a nation called Israel. Because God does not lie. His word has told us all through both testaments that he will regather his chosen people, Israel, at the end of the age. And that's why there's 8.5 million of them over there in their own country. The God of Israel does not lie. The God and Father of the church and our Lord Jesus Christ does not lie. His spirit, the very spirit of God, is the spirit of truth, the scripture says. The psalmist says in Psalm 25, "Guide me in your truth, O God." And that's why we're here today. We're here to pay attention to God and let him guide us in his truth. The world is full of lies of all kinds. In fact, the Bible says all people are liars. And you and I fit into that category because somewhere along the way, hopefully not today, we have been liars and we are liars and deceivers. All people lie. The devil, the Bible says, in fact, Jesus himself said it, the devil is the father of lies. He's the deceiver. That's one of his biblical names. But God is a God of truth. And so, Lord, we say with the psalmist today, guide me into your truth. Isaiah 65, verse 16, I don't have time to do the whole context. It's a portion about God's blessings and cursings, blessings on those who will have him by faith, punishments on those who reject him. But look at Isaiah 65, 16. "Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God. Isaiah 65:16 is one of many places that tells us we have one true God. There are many religions, there are many images, there are many idols, there are many so-called prophets, but there is only one true God who eternally exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but only one true God. And so Isaiah 65:16 says it twice. That's why we opened our Bibles there. Now I'd like you to go to the New Testament, to Romans chapter 3. If you're with us on Thursday nights, we're going through the book of Romans. Maybe your Bible will just kind of automatically open there. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Romans 3:4, not at all, Paul says, let God be true, let God be true, and every human being, every man, every person in the human race a liar. But establish this, God is true. As it is written, and a quote from the Psalms, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. Sometimes the things I say aren't true. Sometimes that's been by accident, thankfully. Other times it's been on purpose. Or sometimes I've failed to speak the truth. Let all people be liars, it says in Romans 3:4. But understand this, God is not a liar and God does not lie. And when he speaks, he is proved right and righteous and true and truthful in all that he has to say. He is the one true God. This is a youth devotional book that we've used in our family. When we have family devotion times before breakfast early in the morning. And it's entitled, this one little devotion, Make Believe Gods. Isaiah 44 says, God says, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is no God. I am the one true God, Isaiah 44:6. The little devotion is entitled Make-Believe Gods. Irene wanted a little sister, but God did not give her a little sister. So Irene put some long dresses on her biggest doll and said, this is my little sister, Ruth. But she was making believe, Irene was, because only God can make a little sister. Nobody can make a sister out of a doll. Many years before Jesus lived on earth, says this devotional, the people of Israel loved the true God and they were his children. But most other people made their own gods. They made a man or they made an animal and they made it out of a stone or out of a wood from a tree. And they called these statues their gods, little g. These gods, little g, were make-believe gods, little g. But the people imagined in their imaginations that these little gods were real. They even prayed to them. They even bowed down to them. In some cases, they even sacrificed not only animals, but their children to them. Irene, though, knew better than that. She couldn't even make a sister. So how could any person possibly make a god if she couldn't even make a little sister? Today, the devotional reads on, many people still make their own gods, little g. In India and Africa and Japan and many other countries, Children and grown-ups pray to gods, little g, who really aren't gods, little g, at all. In our country, for the most part, in America, we don't have such gods, little g. But even in America, whatever we love the most has really become our god. What are some of the things in America that people love very much? Money and houses and cars and movies and candy and many, many other things we could list. These are our gods, little g, if we love them more than we love the one true God. Do we love Jesus and our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit more than anything else? They are the three in one, the one and only true God. That's why God ought always to be first and last and most important in our hearts. You know, sometimes the children's devotionals can speak a whole lot louder than the adult devotionals. I have found that with my family again and again and again and again. And it wasn't it Jesus who said, unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Lord God is the one true God. The sovereign God, God the Father, is true and he is truth. Also, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, is true and truth. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles now to the Gospel of John. Before Romans is Acts, before Acts is John. I'd like you to turn to John 18, beginning at verse 36. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the truth. Look at what he said to Pilate in John 18, beginning at verse 36. This is about the truth and the truthfulness of the Lord. The sovereign God, God the Father, is truth. The Bible says it all the way through. So is Jesus Christ. Verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, to Pilate. He's on trial. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but my kingdom is from another place. Jesus tells us the truth. He is a king. The Christmas story, he was born a king at Bethlehem. His kingdom is of another realm. He has a kingdom, and he is a king. So Pilate picks up on that in verse 37. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king, and in fact, the reason I was born and came into the world. Jesus pre-existed as the eternal God. He came into the world through human birth, virgin birth, and he came to do what? In verse 37, Jesus said, I came to do what? To testify to the truth. We're talking today about God is truth. The Lord is truth. We're talking about the truthfulness of the Lord. Jesus here says, I came to tell the truth. Where you came from, where you're going, why you're here. I am here to tell you the truths, the deepest truths, the best truths of life. I'm here to tell you and show you, speak to you. And then, isn't it interesting in verse 37 what he says? At the end of the verse, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Why are you here this morning? It is a beautiful spring Sunday. You could be doing all kinds of things this morning besides sitting in church. You know why I hope you're here? I hope you're here to worship and to hear the word, which we're doing right now. I'm hearing it right along with you. Jesus says those who are on his side, the side of truth, He's already said in 14, he's the truth. Now he says here, he came to tell the truth and testify to it. And now he says, everybody on my side, the side of truth, listens to me. I'm so glad you're on the side of truth. Is that why you're here today? I hope so. You're on Jesus' side. You care about praising him, praying to him, serving him, giving to him, getting together with other people who care about him. You would like to hear the word of the Lord and the truth that it is. Is that why you're here? You could be out doing anything on a beautiful spring Sunday. Everyone on the side of truth, Pilate, listens to me. And in Jesus' day when he was here, there were Israelites who listened to him and were on his side and believed upon him. And there were others who rejected him, obviously. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. If a person doesn't care a thing about the Lord or what the Lord has to say or about the Bible, what God's word has to say, that person should examine his heart. Because if you're on Jesus' side, you'll care about hearing what he has to say. But look at verse 38. Look at Pilate's response. It's the response of modern society. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. Jesus had already said what is truth. A lot of people, intellectually, stubbornly, rebelliously, whatever, would like to go through their whole life and even to their grave asking the question, what is truth? Sarcastically, ironically, scornfully. They would rather just keep on asking what is truth than find out that Jesus has the answer, that he is the truth, and what he speaks is truth. The Son of God is truth. In Discipleship Journal, author Mark Stiles tells the story of how he led a young man, Andrew, from Sweden, to Christ. One part of their conversation is especially instructive, and this is what Mark Stiles writes. Andrew said to me, "I've been told if I decide to follow Jesus, he will meet my needs and my life will be very good." This seemed to Andrew to be a point in Christianity's favor. "But I," Max Stiles says, "I faced a temptation. Not to make it sound better than it is." "No, Andrew, no," I said. Andrew blinked in surprise. "Actually, Andrew, you may accept Jesus as your Savior and find that life can still be hard for you." "What do you mean?" Andrew asked. "Well, for instance," Max says, "you may find that some of your friends will reject you, or even maybe some of your family might oppose your decision to follow Jesus. There are still bad things that happen in this world and may happen to you, even if you're following Jesus. Andrew, when Jesus calls you, he calls you to go the way of his cross." Andrew stared at me, and he asked the obvious question, "Then why would I want to follow Jesus?" And Max Stiles, telling the story of this true event, said, "I raised my hands and I answered, 'Andrew, Andrew, you want to follow Jesus because Jesus is true.'" The Bible has many blessings and promises for the believer. But we don't believe in Jesus just for what we get. We get a lot. When we sincerely place our faith in Christ and we are born again, the promises of God are incredible for us. We receive a free gift of salvation and so much more. But The primary reason that we believe upon Jesus is because he is true. And because he is the way and the life, and nobody comes to the Father in heaven but by him, we don't just believe in Jesus for the prizes we get. We believe in Jesus because he is the truth. Thank you, Max Stiles, for that reminder. And Andrew went on to accept Jesus as his true Savior. Did you know in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the King James, it's verily I say unto you, or sometimes for emphasis, verily, verily I say unto you. Verily means truly. In more modern translations, it's truly I say to you, or truly, truly I say to you. And in the NIV, it's often Jesus saying, I tell you the truth, before he teaches something. Over 70 times in the four Gospels, Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I tell you the truth. And then he went on to say a very important truth about God, about heaven, about hell, about life, about sin, about guilt, about salvation. Over 70 times, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth. And our Job opening verses said, who is a teacher like the Lord? God Almighty, who teaches the truth. We pay big money to go to universities all across our land where the truth is not taught. The sovereign God is truth. The Son of God is truth. The Spirit of God is truth. Look at John 16:13. The Spirit within us is the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of holiness. He is the Spirit of truth. John 16:13. Jesus promises the coming of the Spirit in the church age to those who believe upon him. And he said to his followers, John 16:13, but when he, by the way, the Spirit is not a fog, he's not a mist, he's not a force, he's a person, one of the three co-equal persons of the one true Godhead. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, because he will not speak on his own, he's not some sort of other God. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, Jesus said. The Spirit glorifies the Son glorifies the Father, perfect triunity in the Godhead, the one true God. The Holy Spirit within us is the Spirit of truth. And that's why when we start to tell a lie or we start to be deceitful, we get convicted by the Spirit of Christ within us. He's the Spirit of truth. We as Christians should be uncomfortable with deceit and lies, because Jesus, who is truth, lives within us by the Spirit, his Spirit, who is truth. And if we will pay attention to the Scriptures and the Spirit of God, he will lead us into truth. Jesus said, I came into this world to testify to the truth. The Spirit I give you, my Spirit, my Scriptures, they are truth, to guide you into truth. So, when I believe Jesus, and when I follow the leading and the teaching and the instructing and the correcting and the convicting of his Holy Spirit, and when I follow the Scriptures, I'm learning the truth of the universe. This book tells me where the universe came from, and it tells me where it's headed. It tells me that Jesus didn't just come once, he's coming twice. Oh, this book tells me so many wonderful, important, truthful things. This is the book that tells me at the end of the age, as we approach the hardest time on planet Earth called the tribulation, there's going to be a global economy. Can you believe that? And there's going to be a global ruler who's going to rise up out of Europe. And there's going to be a global religious leader, because the global dictator, the Antichrist, is going to bring everything under one worldwide religion that is false. And there will be one religious leader working with the one global ruler, dictator, the Antichrist. There will be a global economy. And if you don't take the mark of the Antichrist on either your hand or your forehead, you cannot buy or sell anything in the world. Because of modern technology, which is wonderful, but the Antichrist will misuse it. If you don't take his identity, you will not be able to have your forehead or your hand scanned in any Walmart store. You will not be able to buy a thing. And you can't sell a thing either, the Bible says. The Antichrist is so going to control the global economy that if you don't take his mark and worship him, you can't do business. And you better flee for your life, because the Bible tells me that people who try to believe in Jesus and follow him in the Great Tribulation period worldwide, the coming global dictator will chop their heads off. People will be beheaded if they don't take the mark of the beast. This is what my Bible tells me. Do you think it's not true? Do you think it's not? Israel is back in the land. They're inhabiting Jerusalem because Jesus will return to Jerusalem. He is the Lord of truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. The Son of God is truth. The sovereign God is truth. The scriptures are truth. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Isaiah 45:19. Daniel 10:21, the angelic messenger to the prophet Daniel said, from God comes the book of truth. Book of truth. Psalm 33, the word of the Lord is right and true. John 17:17, I've quoted it already. Jesus said, thy word is truth, referring to the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God. It's true. Paul said in Galatians 1 and Peter said in 2 Peter 1, we didn't make this stuff up. Paul said in Romans 9, I am not a liar. I tell you the truth in the Holy Spirit of truth. I tell you the truth. When Paul wrote Romans, he said to the believers at Rome, he was writing from Corinth, he said, I am not lying to you about the gospel. I didn't make this up. The Spirit of truth has given the gospel of truth about the Savior of truth, sent by the God of truth to save us from our sins. The salvation of God is the truth. The sovereign God is the truth. The Son of God is the truth. The Spirit of God is truth. The scriptures of God are truth. The salvation of God that we enjoy as believers is true, and it's the truth. I want you to turn to Titus chapter 1. Back towards the back of your Bible, the end of your Bible, Titus chapter 1. Salvation is true, and it's the truth. The gospel, the plan of salvation. By the way, we're getting real close to Revelation. You know these attribute sermons. I end in Revelation. We're getting close, all right? Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, the great missionary apostle, says first, I'm a servant. Jesus served me. He paid for my sins. I'm his servant. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. Why did Paul write to Titus and have this letter circulated among the churches? And why is it preserved in our Bibles for today? It's so we as believers who have come to faith, true faith, can have a knowledge of the truth. You see that in verse 1. Verse 2, Titus 1. In the hope of eternal life, which God who does not lie, God who does not lie. That's said way back in Genesis and Exodus. Here it is again, towards the end of the Bible. God does not lie. He is truth. God who does not lie promised before he created anything, before the beginning of time, he promised a savior and salvation to a human race that would fall in rebellion that he hadn't even created yet. Verse 3, and which now at his appointed season he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. The Savior has come, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, and Paul is the missionary witness, the servant of Jesus and the apostle. And he says this is all true. God is true. The Savior is true. The knowledge of God is true. Salvation is true. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 6. All through the Bible, the Lord is true and truth, even at the end of the Bible. We're in the tribulation period now, folks. Let's look at Revelation 6, beginning at verse 9. When he, the Lord, the Lamb, opened the fifth seal, the wickedness of man on the earth is great. The wrath of God poured out from heaven is great. This is the great tribulation period. Jesus said the worst time on earth. When he opened the fifth seal, verse 9, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. These are people who refused to follow the Antichrist, placed their faith in Jesus, slain during the tribulation period. Verse 10, these martyrs for Christ called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord? Remember the first point in today's message. The sovereign Lord is true and truth. Holy and true. How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. Sovereign God, blessed controller of all things, these believers who are now in heaven are saying to the Lord, you are holy and true. How much longer does this tribulation period go on before you judge? Now, look at chapter 15, verse 3. Yes, people in heaven know God is true. Look at Revelation 15 and verse 3. Well, we can start at verse 2 to catch the people, okay? The end of verse 1, God's wrath is about to be completed during the tribulation period. Verse 2, Revelation 15, and I saw what looked like a sea of glass glowing with fire and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and its image and over the number of its name, 666. Isn't that an interesting verse? These are the same people, the martyrs. In the future, when believers in that generation let the Antichrist kill them, guess who wins? The victors are the people who placed their faith in Jesus and were faithful to him till death. They're in heaven. They are the victorious ones. A few chapters later, you remember what happens to the Antichrist? He's not the victorious one. He can behead as many Christians as he wants during the tribulation period all over the globe, but read the end of the book. The Antichrist loses. The victory goes to the people of faith, even if they lost their lives, because they would not take the mark of the beast. Now, verse 3, that's why we turned here. These victorious saints in heaven, while the tribulation is still going on, are singing the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Old Testament and New Testament fit together. The law and the Lamb. The law is intended to lead us to Christ. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. These are people in heaven killed for the sake of Christ, their faith in Christ, and they are acknowledging that the Lamb of God, who died on the cross for our sins, is the Lord of the nations. Do you see that at the end of verse 3? Jesus, the Lamb, the Lord, is the King of the nations. He is the true Lord God Almighty. You see that at the end of verse 3? And these people killed by the Antichrist are the victors. Jesus said, the people who listen to me are on the side of truth. And here's an example of what he's talking about. People who will die for Jesus. Did you know? In the 20th century, under communism, under Islam, in faraway corners of the world where pagan religions seem to rule, in the 20th century, more believers died for the cause of Christ than at any other time before in church history. We don't feel that in America because we're free to assemble here and worship. We have a missionary who works in Afghanistan. He goes in and out secretly. He trains church leaders in Afghanistan. His life has been in danger many times, Juan Cardenas. And the people that he trains, he has had numerous people that he trains as pastors and church leaders who have already been martyred for Christ in Afghanistan. Jesus died for us, and we have the privilege of living for him. And if we have the privilege of dying for him, we have the victory in heaven. Do you see that here? That's the truth. There's a coming world dictator who's going to look like he owns it all. He's going to control it all, and he's going to kill people who oppose him. It's going to look like the truth is he rules, but he doesn't. Read the end of the book. Jesus rules. Just and true are you, King of the nations. Revelation 15:3. The Lord is true and truthful. And when you and I believe in the Lord and pay attention to the Lord, Jesus said, the people who listen to me are on the side of truth. Jesus said, the people who listen to me and believe me, trust me, they're on the side of truth. We're comfortable in America today, and we're so thankful for our country. But more important than being comfortable in America is being comfortable with God and knowing that you belong to the Lord who is true and truth. Christmas is true. Easter is true. Thanksgiving is true. Jesus is true. The Lord is true and truth. So let's pay attention to him and be on the side of truth. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Anybody here today need to say, Jesus, I believe you're the truth. I want you. Come into my life and save me from my sin. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The words don't matter. The Lord knows your mind and heart. Say, Jesus, save me. Save me. Save me from the lie. Save me from being a liar. Be my truth. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Father, we thank you that you're the God of truth. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are the Savior of truth. Precious Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father and the Son within us, thank you that you are the Spirit of truth. And we hold this Bible that is the Scriptures of truth. Lord, thank you for the truth. Thank you, Lord, that somebody shared your truth with us. Help us to share it, your truth with others. And Lord, I thank you for each person you've brought here today. Help us to value you. Help us to adore and worship you and praise you, and help us to pay attention to you, for you are the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unto the Father in heaven but by me. What truth! The gospel of truth. Lord, help us to share it. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen. What our closing song, Stand With Me, is one of my favorite hymns. And we are to turn our eyes on Jesus. He is the truth. We turn our eyes upon him.
Stand if you would, please. 363. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. 363.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting he passed, and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Thank you, Jim, for leading today. I love how the hymn book echoes the Bible. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. His word is truth. It cannot fail you. Also, this song says, there's light for a look at the Savior, no matter how dark life seems. There's light for a look at the Savior, life more abundant and free. Jesus gives us abundant life. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, Jesus said. But remember Mike Stiles and remember Andrew in Sweden. Andrew, you don't believe in Jesus for all the prizes you get. You believe in Jesus because he's the truth. That's it. Bless you. Have a great spring Sunday. We're dismissed.